Welcome to the ministry of Gene Fraser. We trust that the word you're about to hear will have a transforming effect on your life. Now, here's Gene with today's message.
God's got some things for this morning. It was just kind of funny the response I had when I put being a spiritual girl in a material world on social media. Different ones were like, man, I am so excited. It really got us stirring. So those of you who knows like kind of where that came from, of course, beside the Holy Spirit. I was laying there one morning and he spoke those words and I knew immediately what it was, because back in the day, I personally was a big Madonna fan. Yeah, so you know where this lines up with, right? Right, so Madonna still has a song called Material Girl. But the chorus of it, it says, or she sings, we are living in a material world, and I am a material girl. Some of you could sing it for me right now, couldn't you? We're living in a material world, I am a material girl. Living in a material world, I am a material girl. So the Holy Ghost is saying this morning, no, 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 no. Now, yes, we are living in a material world. We are living in a material world, but we are to be spiritual girls. Amen. Being a spiritual girl in a material world, it's possible. It's possible. And look, to a certain degree, we're all doing it. If you've been born again, you know, we're all moving on with Jesus. We're all endeavoring to grow and to be transformed. But there's some more things we can get today. Amen. Being a spiritual girl in a material world. Tell your neighbor it's possible. Yeah. Tell the other one, come on, we're doing it. We're doing it. We are doing it. Amen. We're doing it. So, yes, we are living in a material world, but we are to be spiritual girls. Hallelujah. Do I got some spiritual girls out there? Yes. Oh, yeah. Come on. And we're proud of it. Yes. We're not ashamed. Because who knows, this world and the people in this world, the material girls in this material world, they are not ashamed. They're not hiding it. They're flaunting it. Why don't we flaunt the Holy Ghost? Why don't we flaunt Jesus? Why don't we not be ashamed and thinking we've got to conform? Let's not be conformed. Let's allow ourselves to be transformed. But see, so many times you got all the material girls around you, you know, and you think, you know, well, I don't want to be too much. Well, they're proud of it. Why don't you be proud of him? They're proud of themselves, how they are in the world. Why don't you be proud of God and what he's done in your life, and flaunt it? Can we flaunt him today? Let's flaunt him today. Don't be ashamed. Don't not be proud of who you are and whose you are. Speak it out. They need to hear it. Our text today, let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And I love how that starts off. And listen, in 1 John, is he speaking to people that haven't been born again, haven't received the revelation of Jesus Christ? No, he's speaking to the church. He is speaking to the church. He is speaking to the believers of that day. And you think, why would he have to say these things? Well, he does. Just like today, we have to say these things. We need to be reminded of these things. You know, maybe it was told to us once, but who knows, sometimes you can just kind of slip back a little, and sometimes, you know, sometimes we start conforming a little bit without even realizing, and we need to be reminded, shaken. Say, whoa, God said don't. God said do not love the world or the things right? We're talking about material girl in a material world. Material, what's material? Things. Do not love the world or the things in the world. And he says that if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father isn't in him. It's like, don't be deceived. You think, oh, I love God. But you can't love the world and love God. You can say that, but it ain't the truth. And who knows, we want to know the truth. We must know the truth so we can walk in the truth, because we don't want any surprises on that day. Amen. Do not love the world or the things in the world. And you know what? I had a scripture, and we're going to go there right now. James chapter 4, verse 4. I wasn't sure if I was going to share this or where it was going to fit, but boy, we're just coming out of the gates with it. James chapter 4, verse 4 through 6. I'm reading in the New Living Translation. Listen to this. Now, the book of James, who is he speaking to? Who is he writing to? The church. You adulterers, don't you realize? Did you forget? Don't you realize that friendship with this world makes you an enemy of God? No, people say, I love God, but hey, I'm enjoying the world. Well, he said, don't you realize that friendship with the world, it makes you an enemy of God? It doesn't matter what you say. You're made that way. You are made an enemy of God when you love the world. It doesn't matter what our opinion is. It doesn't matter what another religion tells us. It doesn't matter what our best friend says. It matters what God says. And he said that you make yourself an enemy of God if you're friends with the world. That's just what he said. So who knows? We don't want to be. I mean, there's not one. I'm looking around all of you. There's not one of us that would want to say then, oh, yes, I want to be a friend of the world. I want to be an enemy of God. None of us would say, I want to be an enemy of God. But yet sometimes we struggle with being a friend of the world. But the more truth that we get in us, the more light, the more understanding that comes, the more revelation of, whoa, who am I and whose I am? This world is too low for me. I'm higher than that. I'm better than that. I'm bigger than that. I've been created for so much more than that. It goes on. I say it again, that if your aim is to enjoy this world, you can't be a friend of God. So see, it's not that we can't enjoy this world. See where the focus is. If your aim is to enjoy the world, you can't be a friend of God. What do you think the scripture means when they say that the Holy Spirit, whom God has placed within us, jealously longs for us to be faithful? Man, the Holy Spirit in us is jealously longing. Anybody ever been jealous before? It don't feel good. God jealously longs for us to be faithful to him. Can't you just feel that right now in that moment? He is just jealously, he's jealously longing for us to be faithful to him and only him. Amen. And how do we do that? By not being a friend of the world. That's how we do it. By being a spiritual girl in a material world. And not letting this material girl, not letting this material world turn us or make us feel like we need to be a material girl. And I'm today, after this, and I am like determined more than ever before, I am not ashamed to be a spiritual woman around a bunch of material, natural, carnal, fleshly women. And I want to continue to grow in that because of who I know I am. And I'm not going to look at them and judge them. I'm going to pray for them. I'll help them whatever way I can, but I ain't backing down to who they are. I'm staying in whose I am. And I'm not ashamed of it. And I'm not pressured to try and look like them, be like them, sound like them, dress like them. Like, I'm so much better. I'm so much greater. God, yet not me, but God in me. Amen. So he's jealously longing for us to be faithful. A material girl is one who loves and lives for the material things in the world. So what is materialistic? Well, first I want to, for the word material, some synonyms for the word material. Carnal, fleshly. Boy, haven't we heard those words before a lot, right? I mean, those are words that we see in the Bible a lot. So a synonym for the word material, carnal, fleshly. So basically Madonna was singing, I'm living in a carnal, fleshly world, and I am a carnal, fleshly girl. And she was proud of it, and she flaunted it. Well, ladies, you know what we need to do? We need to know that we are spiritual women, spiritual girls living in a material world, and we need to be proud of it, and we need to flaunt it. The word materialistic, listen to what these say. The word materialistic, what it means. Overly concerned or preoccupied with material possessions rather than with intellectual or spiritual things. Notice those words, overly concerned. Anybody ever been overly concerned about something or preoccupied? That's what the word materialistic means. Overly concerned or preoccupied with material possessions. In our case, we can say rather than spiritual things. Who knows? We do not want to be materialistic. Amen. So we don't want to be overly concerned and preoccupied with material things. Amen. Another definition, excessively concerned with physical comforts or the gaining of wealth and material possessions rather than with spiritual, intellectual, or cultural values. Excessively concerned doesn't mean you can't be concerned. But this says excessively concerned. That's what materialistic is. Excessively concerned. And here's one more definition. Thinking mainly about physical things. Thinking mainly about physical things. So notice that. Overly, excessively, mainly concerning these material things. And that's not what we want to be. And it's so cool. This morning, I kind of wrote it really... Hopefully I can read my handwriting. But I was thinking of that because you think about it, you know, have some people ever said, oh, you know, you're too much. You know, that religion, that, you know, that spiritual stuff, you know, too much. Has anyone ever said too much or your excess? Did you see these words we were just using for materialists? You know, overly concerned, preoccupied. Have anybody said, no, you know, you're at church too much. You know, you're occupied with, you know, right? It's a little excessive, you know. Overly, excessive, or mainly. What do you do? Mainly, what do you, you're just at church and you're reading your Bible and you're, mainly all you ever do is just talk about God. And is that really so bad? So with these definitions, I kind of rewrote them. So those were the definitions for materialistic. Well, what'll it just be, you know, what about just being spiritual? Overly concerned or preoccupied with gaining spiritual possessions such as revelation, understanding, and souls for the kingdom of God rather than the material things. Wouldn't you love that? Here's the next definition. Excessively concerned with their spiritual condition and the gaining of wisdom and spiritual possessions rather than with carnal, fleshly, material things. I want to be known as overly, excessive. And here's the last one. Thinking mainly about spiritual things. I'm just done with the church looking like the world. The world is supposed to be looking like the church. But instead we have church. I see church leaders putting things on their body and you're looking like the world. The world needs to look like Jesus. Jesus didn't go trying to look like the world to win the world. He stayed who he was in his convictions and in the revelation of who he was. And the world lined up to him. So God's not opposed to his people having and enjoying things. It's just about being preoccupied, excessive in it, right? Or it mainly being our main concern. But it doesn't mean we can't be concerned and want certain things. Come on, I'm right there with the best of them. I like nice things. And sometimes people, they'll maybe automatically think and look at someone and think, oh, look, they're so materialistic just because they're fixed up nice and maybe they have real nice expensive jewelry on or whatever. And you know, you just, people judge someone and think, oh, they're so materialistic. They could be the most spiritual person. You don't know. I don't know. We can have all those things and think about it. Why are these things in the world? They're for God's kids to enjoy them. Just think of whatever those material things are that, you know, you like or you'd like to have. To having material things doesn't make you materialistic. It's when you're excessively and overly and mainly thinking about those things. See, it's all where your priority is what changes everything. Our priority needs to be Jesus. Our priority is to be who we are, who we were created to be, not be ashamed of it, be totally proud of it. So he's not opposed to us having nice things, but he is opposed to us loving them and going after them more than we're going after him. He's opposed to us trusting in those things for fulfillment and happiness. God isn't opposed to us having nice things, having relationships, but he is opposed to us trusting in those things and looking to those things for fulfillment and happiness over him. He is opposed to that. He wants to be first forever, in everything, all the time. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. He says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives richly all things to enjoy. So having nice things does not make you materialistic. It's when we're overly concerned, preoccupied with them, and mainly thinking about them. That's when it's not right. And of course, we think of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Remember, Jesus said, but seek what? First. Seek first. Everybody say first. Nothing or no one but him first. First. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. There's the order of priorities. And notice it, there's nothing second. It's just first. And when you do the first thing, all the other things just happen. So you just need to know first. I'm kind of like, well, what's second? You don't need second. Just do first. When you do first, it all happens. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, they'll be added unto you. You're not going out looking for them. You're not going out trying to get them. They're added unto you. What does that mean? They're given to you because you've given you to him. He didn't say, don't seek good things for yourself. He said, seek the kingdom first. It's not that he doesn't want us to have nice things, good things, pretty things, expensive things, whatever things might be in your heart to have. Doesn't mean he doesn't want you to have them, but he knows it'll ruin you if he's not first. But see, sometimes people, and you know, if it's not flowing, it's not something I try to be doing. We just want to always be sure we're seeking him first. I mean, that's the answer to it all. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all those things are going to be added unto you. I mean, what father doesn't want? You know, some of you that are parents, what? Of course, you want the best for your children. You want the best of what you can get for them. Whatever the best is you're able to do, who knows? It's like you're willing to do it. I mean, how much more? God, our Father. But it's like we can't just have the stuff and not have everything in the right order first, because that's dangerous, right? So he's not holding anything back from us. He's just waiting almost till it's safe and okay, you know, and this is the way I said to do it. I mean, it's really simple. There's just one step. The word works. What he said is true. So what happens then? We do the word. Even right now, I can't figure that out. You might be like, how will he do this? And how will he get me? I don't know. You don't know? I don't know. He knows. But even through all of that, we can't lose our focus. Thinking, oh, wait, it's taking kind of long. Oh, no. It's not first anymore. That's trying to get first, and that's dangerous. So it's keeping him first in everything, even as we're waiting for all those things to be added to us. And it's not like we're, oh, yeah, Lord, I'm seeking you first, and you're looking. You're looking for those things. Okay, I'm ready for you to add those on me. It's like you're not even concerned about it. You're just so consumed with him. And then the blessing of God, it just overtakes you. That's why sometimes we can't look at me, they're so materialistic. You know, just because you have nice things doesn't mean that you're materialistic. No, maybe it just means you're a doer of the word of God. Maybe it just means you're reaping what you've sown. Maybe it just means that there's actually somebody that is seeking first the kingdom of God, and God is actually adding those things unto them. Imagine that. People actually doing the word and it actually working in their life. Imagine that. Wow. Let's go on here. So what causes people to be materialistic? So just want to bring out here, materialism, it seeks to fill a void. However, having more things does not make people happier. And we could get off on that, but I'm not going to do that. But, because who knows, there's a lot of people that have a lot of beautiful, nice things, and they are not happy. So owning things becomes important when you have an internal void. When your internal world is deprived, it is only natural to want to fill it with external things. But you can't fill a spiritual void with material things. So there's a lot of people that's what they're doing. So watch this. There's four things that will help fill that void, that inner emptiness. And these are things that we have done and we continue to do. These four things that help fill that void, that inner emptiness. Number one, be filled with the Spirit of God. Filled, right? Filled. Looking for that void. There's a void in everyone to be filled. Well, first and foremost, filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Filled with the power of God. Filled with the love of God. Filled. Everybody say filled. Signs that you are, it's you're passionate about your relationship with God and people, and whatever you put your hand to, it just permeates through you. That you are filled with God through and through and through. The second one, you're called to fulfill a ministry of serving others. Are you doing it? Are you working it? Are you finding it? Are you fulfilling it? You're called to fulfill. That'll help fill you by fulfilling what you're called to do. Third one, we are to be filled with understanding, wisdom, knowledge, revelation. When we pray, oh Lord, that we would be filled with the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. It's like when you're filled, who knows? You don't need anything in there. Because you're not empty, you're filled, right? So we're not looking for material things to fill us, or we're not looking for material things to thrill us when all these things, we're filled with him. Material things seem so petty compared to him, compared to being filled with God. The fourth one, we should be filled with visions that challenge ourselves to reach for the greater. Over in Proverbs chapter 29:18, we won't turn there, but that's where it says, where there's no vision, the people perish. We ought to be filled with visions that challenge us to reach for greater. Don't be satisfied with where you are, because there's always greater. There's always higher. There's always better. We can be so good at things, but who knows, we can be gooder. We can get even gooder. That word perish, the people perish, to show lack of constraint, to let loose restraints, to lose control, to lose self-control or moderation. Just sounds like that's not where we want to be. We want to be filled with visions that will challenge us to reach for greater. And so focusing on these four things, focusing on being filled with these things, will keep us filled and overflowing with these things. So we're not empty and then overindulging on natural material things. So all these things help us to be a spiritual girl in a material world. Here's something else. You know, we always want to watch for this, you know, because people think, you know, just talking about the shopping thing, you know, me personally, it's just a fun thing. God knows. I mean, and I've heard different ones, even ministers, different people say, buy the most expensive and don't look for the sale and blah, blah, blah. Hey, well, that's fine for you, sister, but I'm getting the sale and I'm not ashamed of it. Because God, he literally, I mean, it's just like, I don't know, you'd almost want to call it an anointing or something. I mean, don't think, oh, well, I don't have enough money to get nice things. You don't need money to have nice things. People can give you things. God can put something on a major clearance sale and you just happen to walk by and there it is for you. Stop limiting God in what he's able to do. So I'm just saying, a lot of those things happen to me. So they can happen to you too. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things are going to be added unto you. He's our priority. Listen, I enjoy, and some people don't, but like with me, you know, I can talk about me because I know me. God knows me better, but I know me kind of. I'm learning to know me more every day. But you know, I can enjoy jewelry. I can enjoy things without them being my joy. The problem happens is when those things become someone's joy. So then if, oh my goodness, God forbid, God tells me he's nudging my heart to give something away. It's like I'm giving. It's like, there goes my joy. No, there goes a thing. So ending materialism does not mean you just get rid of all your possessions. Right? Well, okay, well, you know, Pastor Sheen, I mean, come on, you're driving it home today by the Holy Ghost. I am realizing I do not want to be materialistic. Thank you. You're helping me. You know, let me just go home now, clear out my jewelry box, clear out my purses. Just let me give it all away. Getting rid of those possessions, you're still you. Until what's inside of you changes too. So you don't have to do that. It doesn't mean forsaking all of your possessions. So watch, this is how. So you want to know how, because you're thinking this is not who I want to be, want to be sure of it, right? So this is how you're going to defeat materialism. You're not going to even mess with it. When you start seeing it, you're just not. Say, I'm not. This is how. Number one, realize you are not the things you own. You are not the things you own. You got some people, they're so rich and they have all these great things and they think everyone should bow down and kiss their ring. Having all your nice things does not mean that you are to be worshiped and bowed before. No. And it's dangerous because even in the church, you know, I don't know, for some reason this comes up, you know, there's different ones, you know, and I hear different pastors, you know, and it's a struggle for some, but not for us by the grace of God. But you got some people that are, you know, big time, you know, you just, they're rich, you know, and I've heard a testimony after testimony and some failures that, you know, they've got like, you know, maybe the biggest tither that they have at their church. And, you know, and you just hear people, it's like through their money, they manipulate. Like, as if you got to listen to me, because, hey, my tithe every Sunday you want to see. Hey, baby, we don't need your tithe. We need Jesus above your tithe, and Jesus is going to get us a better tithe. Yeah. Take your money. So don't look for rich friends. Stop looking to be around rich people and rich friends and looking for them to give you things. I'd look to God as your provider. I wouldn't limit him to just them. He is limitless. And sometimes there's things, they can come by the strangest, oddest ways, through the most interesting people, all sorts of things. And it's beautiful when you love God and you trust him. So there was just something about motives there that the Holy Ghost for someone was just trying to penetrate through. So we realize that we are not the things we own. Separate your identity from the things you own. Your worth is not in what you have, but in whose you are. My worth is not in what I have, but it's in whose I am. We are His. The more you're able to see who you are in Him, the more you will be able to receive from Him. God's not holding anything back. It's lack of revelation that holds things back from us just receiving. What does that word receive mean in the Greek? A lot of times in the New Testament, it means to take. We think receive, you're just sitting there waiting to receive. That word receive in the Greek, a lot of times in that New Testament, means to take. So God's waiting for us to realize what's ours and then take it. He's like, I don't have to give it to you. I already gave it to you. It's like, put your hand out and take it. The more you're able to see who you are in Him, we just said this, the more you're able to receive from Him. And then you won't love things. You'll love Him while enjoying those things. Now, don't get me wrong. I enjoy nice things. Don't you? You enjoy nice things, and some women really like nice things more than other women. But that doesn't mean that the one who likes nice things more than that one is more materialistic. It just means that she likes nice things more than the other one. It's really pretty simple. There's nothing wrong with that. No one's right or wrong. Someone just likes some nice things better than another. That's okay. Just make sure you're both seeking Him first. So just like being poor is not humility. There's a lot of people that are poorly full of pride. They are so in pride in all their poorness. So that's not what marks us. He marks us. So we can have nice things, but they are not our joy. We can enjoy them, but them not be our joy. We can enjoy them, but them not be our joy. Here's another one. So how? Be willing to let go. Stop trying to hold on to things you own, including relationships. Getting rid of stuff can be liberating, stripping away from you what isn't important. And this might seem kind of weird, but I just really felt like to share it, because sometimes, you know, people, like, they hoard things up. And I really feel like that has to do with this. It's like sometimes, you know, you gotta let things go sometimes. And I'm talking about, like, just stuff that maybe isn't even worth money. Just stuff. I mean, there's people, like, they'll never throw anything away. They need me to come over their house. I will help you throw things away. I was going to say, I'll help you by the grace of God to throw things away. I don't even think I need God's grace on that. I'll just help you throw it away. It's funny, but a lot of you know me. It's like, I love throwing things away, and it's kind of gotten off on some of you. I get texts from Emily sometimes, a picture of something, can we throw this away? And I think to myself, well, wait, we could maybe save it and maybe use it. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, what have I done? And I text back, yes, throw it away. But it's true, and there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with saving things, and you might use it at another time and all of that stuff. But I just feel like sometimes in our brain, in our mind, we have to watch ourselves. Don't be afraid to throw something away that maybe in 25 years, when you might need that vase again, when you might have a purpose for that vase in 25 years, maybe you could go get another one. Or maybe someone would have given you one since then, a little bit more updated and pretty and not cracked. I mean, sometimes we gotta get rid of the old to make room for the new. Amen. Some of you hoarders are not liking this today, but it is good for you. Yeah. I'll never forget, you all heard this story back, I can still see him, and I brought this up to Pastor, and he was like, man, I can still see it. It, like, really affected him. Back when we lived in this condo when we first moved here, and we had this palm tree. But this thing, I mean, it had its day. And he was upstairs with Alan, you know, we had a little workup room upstairs. They were working out, and all of a sudden, I'm cleaning stuff out, And all of a sudden, I guess he looked out the window right at the wrong time. For him, it was the right time. For me, it was the wrong time. And here I go out the door. I'm carrying this palm tree just, and all of a sudden I hear, no! But I let go. It was so liberating. I was so happy to see that thing gone. But it's just funny. Sometimes that really impacted him. Like, he really didn't want to let that go. He hasn't thanked me yet for it, but one day I think he will. I told him, honey, you're not going to be able to bring it to heaven. You might as well just get rid of it now. Be willing to let go. Number three, serve others. Invest your energies into helping other people. Shifting your focus onto the needs of others can help replace materialism. You trying to get things, think they're so important, think you want to have them. Why don't you just focus on someone else? I know it's a shocker, but focus on someone else. Maybe someone else's need, what they like, you know, that can help deter you. And then here's a good one. Grow in your giving. I love this one because, again, you know, this is just a strength of mine. And I'm just going to share from my own personal life just some, you know, testimonies, you know, so to say. But growing your giving in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7 in the Amplified, it says this. But just as you excel in everything and lead the way in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in genuine concern, and in your love for us. I mean, these sound like great people. Did you hear that? That they're excelling in everything and all these things. See that you excel in this gracious work of giving also. Isn't that powerful? So they were excelling in all these things. And he said, see that you excel in this great thing also, giving. Now, I'm not talking about tithing because, I mean, to me, you know, sometimes people say things, and to me, it's so black and white. If you don't tithe, you're stealing from the Lord. I mean, that's what the Bible says, and I just tend to go the Bible way. So to me, tithing isn't giving. Yes, I'm giving to God, but I'm giving him what's his. I mean, if I gave this to you and said, here, Sherilee, I'm going to give this to you, and let's say it was yours. I mean, let's say, like, I took it. And I'm like, here, I'm going to give this to you. You're like, you're not giving that to me. It's mine. It's like, thanks. Second one, right, okay. So I'm not giving it to her. I'm giving it back to her is what I'm doing. So see, that's such a key with tithing. You know, with me at the beginning, I mean, that is the way I saw it. And I thank God for that because it has helped me. I've never, ever thought one week in my life that I can ever remember that I thought to myself, I can't tithe this week. Because to me, what I would have been saying, I'm going to steal from God this week. And I'm not doing that. That could help somebody. Amen. So giving, though, so we're not talking about tithing, because tithing, you're giving back what was his to begin with. He's kind of testing you to see, well, are you going to give it back to me? So are you going to trust me? You think you need that money, but you need me more than that money. So I'd obey me if I were you, so I could come through for you. But if we're holding on to the money, we're trusting in the money. God can't help you. You're not trusting him. But when we let go of the money and give it to God, and even we're even more giving and we actually give offerings, could you imagine that? We actually give a dollar above our tithe. So anyway, growing in our giving. You all got the picture of that. I don't think you'll ever forget. So we need to be a giving girl in a material world. So see, the material girls in the material world, I mean, they're living for material things. Their joy is in material things. I mean, that's what they're living. That's what's fulfilling them. They're not going to let go of their things. They can't let go. So you think about it. When we let go, how we stand out. We need to be a giving girl in a material world. Listen and obey what he leads you to give. Wait, listen. He said this to me the other day. Listen and obey when he leads you to give something away. Listen and obey when he leads you to give something away. And I'm telling you, sometimes it really is. It's a mind thing sometimes. And again, giving things and being generous just comes more naturally to some people than others. Some have to work on it more, you know, and that's okay. But I encourage you to work on it because you want to be a generous person. Because you want people to be generous back to you. And listen, you reap what you sow, don't you? If you're going to be a stingy person, And then you're thinking, well, why doesn't anyone do anything for me? Or why don't they do that? Well, what are you doing, baby? We want to be giving excessively. So here's some illustration. Sometimes you think, well, I don't have anything to give away. That's such a lie, it's not even funny. You know what they say, you know, sometimes your trash could be somebody's treasure. I can't tell you, and listen, I am not bragging on me. I'm just giving you an example in humility. But, you know, there's times, and I still do it. I'll go through my things. And sometimes there's just things. It's like if I find that I've just kind of haven't used it a lot or something like that, there's so many times that I will give things away because I think to myself, someone else can enjoy this so much more than it just sitting in my jewelry box or sitting up. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes there's that mentality. Just go through your stuff. It's like, hey, when you leave this earth, you're not going to be able to bring it with you. And I know, but sometimes it's like this balance, but yet God wants me to have nice things. And yes, he does. And you know, he's not saying to give everything away. But you know, sometimes I feel like God's trying to get something our way. But we're not willing to give something away. And it's like we just stop it. We stop that blessing from being able to come into our life, you know? But I know the Spirit of God has shown me. There's different things throughout my life ever since I was born again. Like I know one time, and the Lord showed me one day, someone walked up to me years ago and they said they wanted, God put on their heart to buy me a fur coat. And I'm thinking, I don't want a fur coat. And then I thought, well, hey, okay, I'll take it, right? So we did and I had it. And already, you know what I had done? I actually sold it and got some money for it a few years later. But because I just wasn't wearing it, you know, it was beautiful. I mean, I was so appreciative at the time they bought it for me and just knowing God, that was God, my father wanting to bless me and that he used that sister in the Lord that was so willing and obedient. So I enjoyed that coat for a few years, but then they just came a time I thought, you know what, I'm going to bring this to a consignment store. And I prayed about it. If the Lord told me to give that to someone, I would have done it. But I felt impressed in my heart, and I shared it with Pastor, my husband, and we were like, you know what? No, we're going to go and put this in here. And I told the lady, you know, nothing below this amount. And if we can get that, we're going to take that, and then we were going to use it to do something over here. And that's exactly, it sold for that, and it was a blessing. But you think, well, how could I give that away? Because so-and-so gave it to me. Well, it's not theirs. It's mine. So don't let that get in your way that you can't give something away because so-and-so gave it to you. And I don't care if it was even your own husband. Here's an example right here. I remember years ago, we were out at some meetings and I just knew God was speaking to me. I had a real pretty ring and a matching bracelet that I had gotten at two different occasions. Sapphire is my favorite. It was just so pretty. I mean, just so pretty. But I knew, and I had brought it to the meeting that time. I thought, oh man, if I didn't bring this, I could still have it. But I was glad I had it because I believe the Lord had me have seed. And so anyway, I was going to put it on one evening and I just knew he was speaking to me to give it to a certain person. And I'm telling you, I can honestly say without a hesitation, my only hesitation, excuse me, was that my husband did give it to me. And so I felt like I needed to just share that with him. Now, if it was my friend or over here, I don't need anyone's permission. But because my husband, I just wanted him to know this is what I feel the Lord is saying. And I just da da da. And he was like, honey, if that's what you know, da da da. So I gave those away. But you know what? You reap what you sow. And I know I was given a diamond ring years later. And I knew, I don't remember when the Lord showed me that, but and there was another ring. I had sold a few rings. Now that one sapphire one was quite expensive, but you know, then a few other rings. But I knew I had sown rings. And the coolest thing was God gave me a diamond ring. And the thing was big. God gave it to me. And people would think, and you know, some people they judge, and they go, oh, well, look at the size of the ring on, you know, size of the diamond on her ring on that finger. She said, they don't even know. Someone gave it to me. God gave it to me. I didn't have to pay money for this. Sometimes they look at me with my Louis Vuitton purse that you purchased, you know, for me, you know, and sometimes people, you know, people will just mark you as materialistic or you're rich. It doesn't make me rich because I'm carrying a Louis Vuitton. I'm just wanting to help you today. So anyway, so I reaped a diamond ring. And so about the coat, by the way, remember, so I said, God gave me that coat. Well, years back when I first got saved, my pastor's wife, God had led me to do certain things for her and stuff. And I was so blessed to be able to do this. Like I did nails back then, so I would do her nails for free and, you know, go over our house and just I was always looking for a way to give. I mean, I just was. One time I remember I got her a coat for Christmas. And she, I remember later, and I didn't know this, but here they were really struggling financially, which again, me, I was like in my early 20s. I was oblivious to this stuff. I was new to the kingdom. I was oblivious. But looking back now, I know they were totally struggling financially. And I didn't even realize she didn't even have a winter coat. It didn't even dawn on me. God put in my heart to buy her a winter coat. And not just a used old one, which would have been nice. I'm sure she would have appreciated anything, but she got a brand new one from Father God. I couldn't take credit for that. God told me to do it. And you think about it when you stop and you think, well, I can't do that. Or, hey, I need a coat for myself. You know, you get in the way and think of who, if I didn't do that, she wouldn't have had that and seen the faithfulness of her father. You see what I mean? So our obedience doesn't just affect us. It's affecting other people too. So grow in your giving. Number five, be eternity minded. Oh, I love this one. 2 Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1 through 4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So this is how to be spiritually minded, to be spiritual and not material. This is how. Be eternity minded. Be eternity minded, seeking those things that are above, not the things that are on the earth. But who knows, as we seek above, what happens? Those things start getting added unto us. Number six, realize that you are not of this world. Come on, if anything, we want to drive this home today. You are not of this world, ladies. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. The apostle here, beloved, I beg you. I mean, that's strong language. He was saying, he wasn't saying, hey, by the way, remember. No, he was saying, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Remember, you are a sojourner, I am a sojourner, and I am a pilgrim. What does that mean? This is not my home. One of the translations says, this is not your home. Don't make yourself cozy in it. I am a sojourner, I am a pilgrim. And I love that. And having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. You want the Gentiles, that means the unsaved, the heathen, this material, the material people in the material world. We are to have our conduct honorable among them, not matching up to them, and not afraid of showing them up what's wrong about them. I'm not going to conform and not want to shine my light so bright for them. I need to shine. I'm going to let my light shine. Glory to God. My light is going to do what it's been called to do, and it is to shine and to permeate through darkness. I'm not going to try and, oh, it might be a little too much light for them. I'm going to shine, baby, shine. Because you know, one day they might thank you if they make it to heaven. They might thank you. Thank you for not backing down on your Christianity. Thank you for speaking up. Thank you for not, I watched you. I heard you. I heard you when you said nothing. I saw you when you walked away when they started talking that way that day. They're watching you. Is your conduct honorable or dishonorable? We want to be honorable. We want to bring honor to our Father God. Amen. And you know, I thought about this, a foreigner, a tourist, who knows? Like, I just think of like New York City. I was there a few times. But you know, you think you go to a big city or something, or some of you go to Honduras, or you know, who knows? Like, foreigners, they stand out. Some more than others. Let's picture like a real hardcore one, you know? I mean, some of these people, you know, it's like, you know, maybe some of them with their cameras, and they're taking all these pictures, and they're dressed like really different. You know what I mean? So when you see a foreigner or a tourist, I mean, it's like they totally stand out. That's how we should be in this world. We should totally stand out. We should be dressed different. We should sound different. We should walk different. We should talk different. We should be different. Because you know what? We are different. Don't be afraid to be who you are. Stop trying to line up to who they are, because they're not serving the God that we serve. Number seven, you can't take it with you. And that's the last one. Like we were saying, it's like you can't take it with you. So we're talking about all these things and nice things and being able to let them go and be giving. It's like we got to remember with everything, all the nice things people may acquire, when they leave this earth, we will all have a day, if the Lord doesn't tarry and we're still here, we all have a day when we, real man, real woman, spirit man, will leave this earth suit. This earth suit will die because once the spirit, you know, the life of the body is in the spirit, in the blood. So once the spirit leaves, this body will die. But we didn't die. We never die. We just move. We just go back home. But when we go, guess what we can bring? Nothing. You can't bring, I can't bring my Louis Vuitton purse. So you know what? So while I'm out here on earth, if God speaks to me, don't you all start praying in the Holy Ghost now. I'm feeling tugs. But just check up on ourselves. We should be so willing to let go of, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it was your great-great-grandmother's diamond ring. I'm just saying, there's nothing wrong with holding on to that. But if I'm just saying, if God speaks to you, if you, and you'll know, you think, oh God, is that you? You'll know if God is leading you to do something, to sell something, to give it away. I would just go ahead and do it now, because before long, you won't be able to keep it with you anyway. So I'd rather give it away before I'm taken away and it's left for someone else to enjoy from the rest of that day. I know we all got, you know, you got an inheritance and, you know, you're leaving this to that, this to that. And I think that's all so beautiful and da-da-da. I think sometimes people got to think, it's like, why are you going to just hold and hoard all that up now and hold on to it until you leave? You know, and you hear different ones. They start giving things away while they're still here. You get to see the joy and the thankfulness and the happiness on the person's face while they're still here. You're giving it away, you know? And honestly, there's such freedom. The more you think about this, the more I was in this. I mean, I'm getting more free, and I believe this is going to bring more freedom and liberty to you. Again, I'm with the best of them. I like nice things, but I know my mindset on spiritual things, not on the things of this earth. My mind, my heart is set on God. And if he's going to tell me to give something away down here, of course. And to think how it's going to so bless that person and bring joy to that person. And you know what else? They're going to very possibly glorify God and thank, especially if it's a sister or a brother, you know, they know where it came from. That's going to cause praises to abound. And big whoopee, one less ring in your jewelry box is found. I'm just saying. We can't take it with us. 1 Timothy chapter 6, that's our last scripture here, in verse 6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Think about it. When we came into this world, what did we bring? We brought nothing into this world. And it is certain. Say, it's not a possibility. It's certain. I mean, that it's definite. Even your great-great-grandmother's diamond ring, I mean, the Lord knows how important that is and how precious that is to your heart, and that's so beautiful, and that can't go either. Nothing. Nothing. We can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these things, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Notice that. It's in so many religions, they have this wrong. Oh, see, the love of money. Yeah. No, it's the desire to be rich. Being rich is not evil. It's the desire to be rich. It's the what's the priority, right? We're seek first the kingdom of God. But to these people, it's seek first to be rich. As spiritual girls, our purpose, our desire is found in knowing God, serving God, loving God, bringing honor to God, bringing glory to God, living for God, going after God. I'm talking to a bunch of spiritual girls in this room, aren't I? And we're growing because we're growing in the things that we need to know. So then we can, from that point, we can grow even more and more and more. Amen? And you know, material things cannot satisfy. We know Solomon knew that, didn't he? Remember Solomon? We're not going to turn there, but I want to, if you want to look at it later, I would read it later. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 4 through 11. Read all that. And he goes on and on. I had greater possessions. I gathered for myself silver and gold. I had special treasures of kings and all this stuff. Whatever my eyes desired, I didn't keep from them. I just bought it all. Verse 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had done and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed it was all vanity, grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. The more you try and fill yourself with material things, the more empty you really become. And we see that with people in the world, don't we? They might have a season of seeming that they're enjoying those things, but when your enjoyment is in things, you're in trouble. Because that thing's going to end, that thing's going to break, that thing will be stolen. Whatever happens to that thing, there goes your joy, right? But when our joy is Him and in Him, no matter what comes our way, oh, we thank God for it. We're grateful to God. He tells us to give it away. Oh, we're just as grateful. We're so thankful, da-da-da. Or if it gets lost or stolen or broken or whatever, my joy is Him. None of that matters in comparison to Him. One more scripture. I can't remember where. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 10 somewhere, but just for you to look at later. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. Isn't that amazing? He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. Nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. So see, it's about where your love is. He's our first love. And don't think, oh, yes, that happened one day and we never have to renew our vows to Him and remind Him of our love for Him or every day. Not only for His sake, but even more importantly for our sake. For us to remember, hey, wait a minute. God's what it's all about in my life. I'm not hiding. I'm going to shine. Glory to God. I'm going to be excessive. I'm going to be excessively and concerned with spiritual things. I'm going to be overly concerned. I'm going to be overly preoccupied with spiritual things. I'm going to be thinking mainly about spiritual things. Amen. Doesn't mean you can't think about natural things. Doesn't mean now you're thinking, oh man, well, me and my friend, we were going to be going to the mall after this. Glory to God. Go have a great time. Find a sale. But all the while, you know, He's the one only, first and foremost, that keeps you smiling. Amen? Although a sale can do it for me, I'm telling you. It actually makes me chuckle sometimes. He's so good. But see, even in those natural things, you can see Him. You see His hand in your life. You see His hand upon your life. And even as I'm doing those natural things, I'm glorifying Him. I'm thanking Him for that great parking place. I'm thanking Him all through the natural. So it's not like we're spiritual at one moment and then we go and we do natural things. No, we're spiritual and we go do natural things. We are a spiritual girl living in a material world. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. I believe we've been helped this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Gene Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org or call 888-542-2555. You can hear more messages by Gene Fraser by going to her media page at genefraser.org. While you're there, you'll also find more information about Gene's bi-monthly Ladies Bible Studies and a Night in the Glory Ladies Meetings, as well as her annual You Glow Girl Ladies Conference. That website again is genefraser.org. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.